It's Wednesday of the second week in Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Today, for our digital pilgrimage to the Roman station, we gather at San Giorgio, and then we go out of the Foro Boario and past the Temple of Fortuna and across the Ponte Palatino to Trastevere and up the Via dei Vacellari and past the Palazzo dei Ponziani, where I used to live, and into the gate of the outer courtyard of the Basilica, where there's a pomerium stone, and into the Basilica of St. Cecilia. This ancient basilica stands in Trastevere, and I have a personal tie to it. When I moved to Rome, I lived in nearby in a residence run by the rector. As a matter of fact, it was the family palazzo of St. Francis of Rome, Santa Francesca Romana. Each morning, the rector brought me to serve Mass in the cloister for the Benedictine nuns that are there. During the persecution under Alexander Severus, prominent converts were targeted, including Cecilia's future husband Valerian and his brothers. Pope Urban I was martyred at this time. Because Cecilia was well known, her execution was handled very covertly. She was locked in a steam bath. An attempt was made to suffocate her, and finally her neck was struck with a sword but not cleanly severed, and she forgave her killers before she died. She was first buried in the catacombs of St. Callistus, and then transferred to this church built on the site of her martyrdom. Pope Paschal I rebuilt the basilica in the 8th century. His mosaic portrait here shows him with a little blue square halo, indicating that he was still alive when it was completed. The 1283 baldachin by Arnolfo di Cambio is a highlight. Before the Jubilee of 1600, Cecilia's tomb was reopened and her body found incorrupt, clothed in blood-stained garments. A sculpture beneath the main altar captures her as she was discovered. The convent preserves a 1293 Last Judgment by Pietro Cavallini, and this is where the Benedictine sisters used to care for the lambs whose wool became the pallia bestowed by the Pope on archbishops on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, although I think they're kept somewhere else now. Let's hear from Cardinal Bacci. We often complain about the swift passage of time. Hours, days, and years pass us by, never to return. When we think about the past, do we feel consoled or depressed? How many hours have we spent on useless pursuits, such as idle conversation or excessive entertainment? How many have we devoted to serious sin? How many, on the other hand, have we spent in prayer, mortification, or apostolic work? How many have we devoted to helping our neighbor by our charitable assistance or advice? Weigh it all up. If we discover that the time uselessly or badly spent far outweighs the time spent to our own advantage or to the advantage of others, let us determine to make good the deficit. Resolve to use God's precious gift of time in a manner befitting a reasonable being and a Christian who knows that he has been created for eternity. A vision will confront us in that final hour. Our frightened minds will again see all those hours which we have misused in sin. The devil will try by every means in his power to repaint them in our troubled imagination. He will do his best to lead us into despair, even as he tempted Judas and many other sinners before us. We know well that the mercy of God is infinite, and that it remains infinite at the hour of death. But we know also that his justice is no less infinite. Since God has granted us so much time in which he called us to repentance and to a life of virtue, it could happen that at the point of death he will put an end to the mercy and to the favors which he has shown us and which we have disregarded. What will become of us then? Remember that only one of the two thieves were converted. The other died unrepentant on his cross, even though he was hanging by the side of Jesus. Reflect and make provision while there is still time. While we have time, let us do good. We shall be unable to do anything about it afterwards.